take your Bible and go to 2 Timothy in the New Testament, chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2 is where we're going to study this morning from God's Word. You know, we've learned over the last few weeks that God has saved us. If we're saved today and if we know the Lord as our Savior, then God has saved us and He's delivered us from Satan's kingdom of darkness. The Bible teaches it's already a done deal. We have actually been already translated out of the kingdom of darkness, and we have been made citizens of Christ's heavenly kingdom. Now, I'm a citizen of America, but more importantly, I'm a citizen of the heavenly kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's much more important. Now, physically speaking, as you can see me, God has left us in this world system in which the Bible refers to Satan as the god of this world. Right now, Satan has established an invisible government, so to speak, with his demonic host, and he has established a world system on this earth that right now is a world system of rebellion, a world system of lawlessness against God. So Satan's established this world system, but as Christians, we're not part of it. We are members of Christ's heavenly kingdom, but yet we're physically still here in Satan's kingdom on this earth. So we're in enemy territory, so to speak. We are in a warfare, the Bible says. In fact, 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." They're not fleshly, they're not swords, they're not guns, they're not knives. The weapons of our warfare, the war we're in, it's not carnal. Our weapons aren't fleshly, okay? But they are mighty through God. Our weapons are mighty through God to the pulling down of Satan's strongholds, amen? Now, Ephesians 6 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." And then he says, "to take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the tricks of the devil." So I'm to stand in this world system, like we just sung, in this world of temptation, I will stand. That's exactly what the Bible teaches, what that song said. In this world of temptation, in this world system that we live in that's dominated and controlled by Satan right now, I am, as a member of Christ's heavenly kingdom, I'm to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, you know, when we stand, we're not to have kind of a ho-hum casual attitude about it. You know, the idea of standing strong is the idea that I'm a soldier. And God has equipped me as a soldier, and now I'm to be sober-minded, and I'm to be fervent in my attitude about Jesus Christ. I want you to know that I am not perfect, and I make mistakes, and I certainly sin. But I'll tell you one thing, I'm excited, and I am fervent about my Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm just fervent about it. I'm excited about my Savior. I'm excited about my Christian life. I'm fervent about it. I'm not just going to play around at it. I'm really excited about it. You know, I believe that whatever you do, you ought to do it wholeheartedly. Amen? Amen? Amen. I just believe that. And I want to possess a fervent, zealous attitude in my Christian life. Not kind of the, you know, just the ho-hum, well, whatever happens. I mean, no, you know, there was a church in the book of Revelation that he called it the Church of Laodicea. It was a church located in Laodicea. This church, he said, "I know your works." He said, "You're not hot." He said, "You're not cold." He said, does anybody remember? He told them they're what? Luke, well, I got to tie my shoe, excuse me. I'm about to just fall over my shoe. That's about the third time I've tripped on it, and I kept saying to myself, I'm going to ignore it. But I can't. All right. Plus, I know I'm going to hear about it from my wife afterwards if I don't go ahead and tie it. So, anyway, where was I? Yeah, you got it. They weren't hot. They weren't cold. They weren't hot for Jesus. They weren't cold. They were what? They were lukewarm. you know, I don't want to be that way. I don't want to be lukewarm. You know, Jesus looked at that church, he said, you know, you're lukewarm. And you know how it is, you know, you go to a water fountain, it's lukewarm, it's like, you know, it's just gross. Jesus said that it, you make me want to spew you out of my mouth, he told that church at Laodicea. He said, be zealous, therefore, and repent. Zealous! Man, I like that word. Be excited, be passionate, be zealous. 2 Timothy 2:1. Look at it with me. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. Thou, therefore, my son. Now this is Paul, the Apostle Paul. He's writing to Timothy, his son in the faith. Not his literal physical son. He was his son in the faith. He said, thou therefore my son, be strong. Everybody say those two words with me. Be strong. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Paul pleaded with Timothy. This is the last letter Paul wrote before he died. And he said, Timothy, Paul's writing this from prison. He's in prison for preaching the gospel of Christ. And Paul writes to Timothy, and he says, I plead with you, my son in the faith. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And Christian, listen, God's call is the same today. God wants you and I to possess a fervent attitude about our Christian life. A fervent attitude about whatever ministry. If it's a life, you know, today we talked about the life group teachers. Man, if you're going to be a life group teacher, be one. But I mean, you know, be excited, be fervent, you know, and be passionate. If you're gonna usher, be a passionate usher. Amen. You know, if you're gonna preach junior church, then you know, get over there and get excited and be fervent about it. Amen, Clint? Arlen? Amen. These two guys right here head up our 11 o'clock junior church, and they are fervent about it, and they're excited, and the kids love it because they are excited. You see, God doesn't want you to just accept His grace, and I hope you have accepted it. That's the first step, by the way. You know, that's where it all starts. You know, God offers His grace freely. Aren't you glad for that? You can't work for grace, or it's not grace. Grace is something that's given, that's unmerited. It's given freely. God says, I give you my grace freely. And what's the basis in which God can give you grace, which means a full pardon and forgiveness of your sins? The whole basis is the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the first step in Christian living is to become a Christian. And you become a Christian by accepting the grace that God is offering to you freely through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you become a believer, you become a Christian by accepting that grace, by putting your faith and trust in the finished and the completed work of Jesus Christ. Your faith better not be in the Baptist church. It better not be in me, and it better not be in baptism, and it better not be in a religious ritual or a religious rite. Your faith, saving faith, is faith that is placed in the finished and completed work of Jesus Christ. And when you've accepted His grace, which is freely given to you through His Son, Jesus Christ, once you've accepted that grace, you know what Paul says? Now stand strong. He says, I want you to be strong in that grace. Stand in that grace, like we sung. Don't be ashamed of the gospel that saved your soul. Don't be ashamed of that gospel that has saved you from an eternal damnation, an eternal... Don't be ashamed of it. He says, I want you to be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. You know, your life can make a difference for Jesus Christ. You can leave an eternal impact on lives, but if we're going to leave that eternal impact that God designed your life to leave, then you know what? Then you've got to stand strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't play church. We can't just have a Christian glaze and this Christian coating, you know, and we've got to be real. We've got to have a real, passionate, fervent attitude in our heart towards our Savior and toward this thing of our Christian life. Oh, my friend, how we need to be zealous. We need to be fervent. We need to stand strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. How can we do that? I want to go through this chapter real quickly this morning. I want to go through this chapter, and I want to bring out for you four principles in your handout there. Four principles about standing strong. If you want to stand strong, I want to give you four principles about standing strong. Number one, invest your life in people. Invest your life in people. I want you to notice the relationship Paul had with Timothy. Well, we already got a hint of it in verse 1, didn't we? What did Paul call Timothy in verse 1? My son. Was Paul married? Did Paul have physical children? No. And so Timothy was a young man that Paul had, that he had led him to the Lord. He had taught him God's Word. He had taught him the sound doctrine, the sound teaching of God's Word. And Paul had really invested a big part of his life in Timothy. In fact, look at verse 2. He says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses." He says, man, look, the things you've heard me teach you. He said, those same things, I want you to commit thou to faithful men. In other words, the things I've taught you, I want you to go out and teach other guys that. And then look at the rest of the verse. Who shall be able to teach others also? You know, Paul was a guy that really invested his life in people. Let me say that again. Paul was a guy that really invested his life in people. I mean, you read Paul's life and ministry there in the book of Acts. Isn't it interesting? He invests his life in guys like Timothy, Titus. You read of Luke. You read about guys like Tychicus, Silas. I mean, Paul invested his life in these guys. In fact, look over at chapter 3 real quick. Just flip over there to chapter 3 and look at verse 10 and look what he says here. Chapter 3, verse 10. He says, "But thou," tells Timothy, he said, "Man, you've fully known." Now, I like that phrase. "You have fully known my doctrine," in other words, what I believe, what I teach, "but you've also known my manner of what? Life." He said, "You've not only known what I believe, man, you've seen me live it." He said, "You've watched my manner of life." And then look at the rest of the verse. He said, "You've fully known my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, charity, my patience in afflictions and persecutions." Verse 11. He said, "You've seen me in the hard times of life. You've watched me go through afflictions. You've watched me go through hard times. You've watched me go through trials. You've watched me go through problems." And he said, "You've watched my patience. You've watched my faithfulness. And it throughout those trials." He said, "Man, you've fully known me." I like that. "You've fully known me." And then your handout is a great little quote there. Remember this: you impress lives from a distance. You impress lives from a distance, but you impact them up close. You impact them up close. Now, you can impress people from a distance. Man, they can look at you from a distance and think, "Wow, he's sharp. Wow, she's really snazzy, you know. And man, I tell you, you know, boy, he's a good speaker. And man, she is really something." And I mean, they can look at you from a distance and really be impressed. But you know what? You impact people by getting up close and personal with them. You impact people. Relationships is what it's all about. Relationship. That's why, you know, we beg and plead with you to get in a life group. You know, this is the day in which we brought up on the screen before church all the life group teachers and leaders, and we encourage you to get in a life group. And it's, believe me, it's not for my benefit that I want you to get in a life group. Okay, I don't have anything to gain from it. The reason why I encourage you to get in a life group at 8:30 before this service or 11 o'clock after this is over is because I know what it'll do for you. You see, life is all about relationships. Life's not about money. It's not about things you acquire. It's not all about your position. Life's about relationships. If you're going to stand strong in the grace of Christ, if you're going to leave an eternal impact when you're dead and gone, you know what? It's about relationships, my friend. It is about people. It's about people. You know, and in your handout it says, "I'm convinced one of the primary reasons that we don't invest more time in people is because we're so consumed with the things of the world. We get so wrapped up in self-centered things, don't we? Let's just be honest. We get wrapped up in self-centered entertainment. you know, and we get wrapped up in real life-changing things, you know, like surfing the web. Boy, now you're going to really impact lives. Watching TV, that's going to really impact people, isn't it? Shopping, playing computer games, listening to music, on and on and on I could go. Things that we do that are really for us. They're all about us, you know, and it's all about making us feel good. Well, you just don't impact lives that way. You don't stand strong for Christ. You don't stand strong in the grace of Christ by just letting your life be consumed with just self-centered entertainment. We don't impact. Families don't eat together anymore. Families don't play together anymore. You know? I mean, we still play aggravation at our house. Now, some of you are like, what in the world is that? You aggravate each other? Well, yeah, we do that too. It's a board game. How many of you ever heard of it? All right. So, oh, see there, y'all act like you didn't know what I was talking about. You did. You just wanted to throw me off, aren't you? Yeah, we play Yahtzee. Anybody ever play Yahtzee? Yeah. We play Uno. Well, that's enough to just make you get real carnal, isn't it? And we still play these games. And we still do this stuff, you know? And we you know, families today, though, it seems like every night we try to eat together. We gather around the table and we eat supper together and lunch usually together. We eat it together. Families don't eat together. They don't play together. They don't talk together. You know what I found out today is everybody today in homes, it seems like they're feeding their own entertainment cravings. It's not unusual for mom to be off somewhere reading some, you know, novel. The teenager's in his room playing a video game. Another kid's surfing the web. The daughter's text messaging her friends. And what's old dad doing? You know what old dad's doing. Dad's anchoring down that couch watching ESPN. And so everybody is kind of doing their own thing, and everybody is kind of off. Everybody's off, you know, filling their own entertainment cravings, but there's not that closeness. Now, there's nothing sinful about any of those things in their proper place. Okay? Nothing sinful about. I'm not preaching against those things. There's nothing sinful about them in their proper place and in moderation. But when we feed on large doses of the world's entertainment and allow our children to do that, what it does is it robs us of time that we could spend helping and investing in people. Now, look, I don't impact my kids' life. I don't impact their life when I'm staring at a TV. Am I impacting you? No. I'm not going to impact their life when I'm staring at a TV. I'm not going to make a difference in their life. I'm not going to be able to transfer to them the things in life that God has taught me from His Word and teach them the things that are important about being a man. I got all boys. Being a man and growing up and the things they need. I can't do that when I'm just sitting there, you know, like that. What's my point? As we stand strong in His grace, the question is no longer, how can I be entertained? You know what I mean? When I'm standing strong in the grace of Christ, no longer is the predominant thought on my mind, what's going to make me feel good? What's going to be enjoyable for me? You know, what will I enjoy? What will make me feel good? No, when I'm standing strong in the grace of Christ, the question is, how can I help somebody else grow in the grace of Jesus Christ? How can I be a blessing to somebody else? How can I positively impact somebody else's life? That's the questions on my mind and heart when I'm standing strong in the grace of Christ. Are you with me, church? You see what I'm saying? And I'm not preaching against those things. What I'm saying is that we need to be investing our life in people. We don't need to be wasting our life away with things that don't matter. Things that are just don't matter. We need to be investing our life in people. It's all about relationships. Number two, the second thought is this. Simplify your life for God's service. If you want to stand strong in the grace of Christ, in an evil world, then simplify your life for God's service. You know, He gives the illustration here in verse 3 of a soldier. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He likens the Christian to a soldier. Now when a soldier goes out to war, he doesn't carry a lot of excess baggage, does he? When a soldier goes out to war, he doesn't worry about bringing his easy chair with him, does he? I mean, does he? No. A soldier doesn't go out and worry about, you know, bringing all the stuff that we have. No, the soldier, when he goes out, he knows that if he carries all that stuff with him, it's going to weigh him down and it's going to entangle him. So what does a soldier do? A soldier travels light. He takes only what's needed. He takes only what's necessary for the mission. And that's the picture we get in verse 4. Look at it with me. Verse 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Now look at that. Let it sink in. No man that warreth, and we're soldiers for Christ, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Now, what's the picture? He's saying, hey, Timothy, listen, man, travel light. Take only what's needed. Man, listen, Timothy, don't bog yourself down with all the things that this world system says that you have to have. Have y'all noticed that the world system tells us everything we're supposed to have? You ever noticed that? Have y'all ever noticed that? The world, you know, commercials and advertisement and billboards and you know, our friends, and they all, the world system cries out, tells us what we got to have to be happy. You know, you got to have this, you got to have that, you got to have the latest, got to have the biggest, got to have the best, got to have that. Oh, yeah, I got to have that. And the world system around us tells us what we got to have. Well, look with me in your handout. I want to show you a great passage. 1 Timothy 6. 6 through 8. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought what into the world? Nothing. You came into the world in your birthday suit, right? And it is certain that we can carry what? Nothing out. You ever see a U-Haul trailer behind a hearse? No. The answer is no. I hope you haven't. And look at the verse. And having what? Okay, so then if that's all true, look at the next verse. And having food and raiment, food and clothing, let us be therewith what? Content. Why? Listen, we're pilgrims passing through this world system on our way to our heavenly kingdom, so travel light. You know, and many a preacher, by the way, this isn't just for you guys, okay? Many a preacher has fallen into the same snare and gotten neck high in debt. And what happens is it strangles you when you get in debt. You know, it just strangles you. God's soldiers. Look at verse 3, 2 Timothy 2:3. Thou therefore endure, notice this, what does a soldier have to endure sometimes? Hardness. Now, we're blessed in America. Would you agree with me we're blessed in America? I don't know really if any of us really know what hardness is all about. You know, but think about this. What if everything you had was taken away? You know what I think? I think that if everything we had was taken away from us, the Great Depression, people who had lots and lots of stuff, man, it was all gone. People were jumping off buildings, killing themselves. If something like that happened today, if something catastrophic happened, and it could, we live in a fallen creation. Folks, listen, we don't live in a utopia, okay? Christ hasn't brought the kingdom to the earth yet. We live in a fallen creation in which Satan's the god of this world. There is absolutely no guarantee that something catastrophic couldn't happen. If something catastrophic did happen, I'm not saying it will, but I'm saying if it did, and everything that we had was gone, I wonder how many American Christians would feel like God gave them a raw deal. They would be so mad, so bitter, so upset because they had all this stuff and it's all gone. And I wonder how many Christians in America are so shallow that they really would get mad about that, bitter about that, angry about that. Why is God doing this to me? I've tried to serve him, and all my stuff, he took it away. And I wonder how many Christians, you know, when the Great Depression took away folks' stuff back in the late 1920s and 1930s, when that happened, folks, it didn't just happen to lost people, it happened to Christians too. It happened to people who love God too. You see, the troubles of this life don't just hit lost people, they hit Christians too. We talked about that last Sunday night, if you were in church. That we as Christians are subject to the same problems and trials and difficulties and issues that lost people are. We're subject to the exact same things. And I wonder how many Christians would just, I mean, it'd just be devastated if you lost all your stuff. Folks, this world is not our home. He said, be ready to endure hardness. We're soldiers in a battle. See? We're battling with Satan for the souls of men and women. We're battling with Satan for the souls of men and women. Don't complicate your life. In your handout, look at your handout. It says, don't complicate your life by allowing the world's attractions and possessions to ensnare you. Don't get ensnared. Now, you know what? I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having this and that. But, you know, it's the idea that you got to have it, and if God took it, you'd be upset. You know what I mean? That's the idea. It's the idea that, you know, we let these things control our life. That's wrong. We let these things ensnare us. Look, what Paul's saying here, he's saying, look, keep yourself free from the entanglements of this life. Why? Why? Why do I need to keep myself free from the entanglements of this life? Look at the end of verse 4. That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. It's so you can please the one that's chosen you to be a soldier. So what do? As Christians, well, you know, the whole idea here is we have the attitude, man, I'm a pilgrim, and pilgrims travel light. You know, and we live modestly. And, you know, Denise and I have always, our philosophy, I guess you could say, of life has always been, ever since we were first married, before we ever had our first kid, and before I was ever a pastor, our philosophy of life was, let's live our life in a way that we can give sacrificially to the Lord. Now, that's the way we've chosen to live our life. Let's live our life in a modest fashion so that we can give sacrificially to the Lord. We can give sacrificially to missions. We can give sacrificially to what God's doing on the earth, not just what we're doing. So that's the idea of this text. Timothy, don't let the affairs of this life ensnare you and entangle you. Keep yourself free as much as you can from this world system just trying to entangle you. Why? So you can please him who's chosen you to be a soldier. Now that may mean some hardship. That may mean, you know, as he said there in verse 3, that you're going to have to endure some hardship. But that's okay. You're a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Stand strong in that grace of Christ. And while you're traveling through this earth on your way to that heavenly kingdom, live your life in a way to where you invest your life in people, relationships, and you simplify your life for God's service. Number 3, build your life on God's Word. Okay, build your life on God's Word. Real quickly, look at verse 15. He tells Timothy, I want you to study. He's talking about studying the Word. Study the Word of God. Why? To show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, today we live in a day and age in America in which it's very popular today for preachers, pastors, to kind of preach lighthearted, syrupy, motivational speeches, and they sprinkle them with a little bit of scripture, usually out of context. And we've got a lot of feel-good churches today, light and fluffy messages, kind of cotton candy, you know, and kind of entertainment-driven. And you know what? I understand. That stuff's going to pack buildings. It always has, always will. That stuff packs buildings. But God's Word rightly divided is what builds lives. Okay? God's Word rightly divided is what builds lives. That this book right here, it'll build your life, it'll build your marriage, it'll build your children. This book will build you up. It'll edify you. And notice that he tells Timothy, he says, I want you to... What's the very first word of verse 15? Everybody tell me. First word.
Study.
Study. Dig into it. Learn it. Rightly divide it. Then he says, I want you to go out and I want you to preach what you've learned to other people. Chapter 4, verse 2, he says, preach the word. You know, people may turn out in droves. You know, the people, we live in a day and age in which people may not turn out in droves to hear sound doctrine, to hear the book rightly divided. And I understand that. And we've been blessed here. A lot of people that do want to hear the word of God. And that's a blessing. But man, there's a lot of guys that are preaching and teaching the book around this country with 20 people, okay, this morning. And they're faithful, proclaiming the Bible. And there aren't droves of people turning out to hear it. And the guys with the cotton candy, you know, may be more popular and have bigger crowds. But Paul tells Timothy, Timothy, you stick with the stuff I've given to you because it's the real deal and it'll change lives. Remember this in your handout. A love for this world will quench your desire for God's Word. A love for this world will quench your desire for God's Word. As you love this world system, you will crave the Word of God less and less. Now please get that because that is such an important thought for you to get this morning. The more you crave this world system down here, the less that book will mean to you. The less the Bible, which this is truth. This is what you build. This is what will build your life. This is what will build your kids. This is what will build relationships that are godly in your life. This is what will make a difference in your life. But Satan doesn't want you in this. So what you do, you get over here and you get all the cotton candy of the world. And as you crave that, you crave the true meat of God's Word less and less. Great verse in your handout. Matthew 13:22. Look in your handout. Jesus said, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. And the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, what does it do to the word? Chokes the word and he becometh unfruitful. Studying God's Word needs to be the driving passion of your life. Your life, your marriage, your home, relationships, your children, your ministry, everything must be built on the meat of God's Word, not the cotton candy of the world. Okay? And as a church, can I just say this? We're here to help you build your life on God's Word. We aren't here to entertain you. You can get enough of that, you know. You get enough of that out there in the world. Okay? Last thing you need is Sunday entertainment program. Okay? You get enough of that throughout the week. Believe me, we as Americans, we get overdoses of entertainment. So the last thing you need is an entertainment for me to provide an entertainment program for you every Sunday morning. You don't need that. Here's what we're here to help you do. As a church, we are here to help you. If you want to, we want to help you build your life on the Word of God. Amen. Now, don't get over emotional about that thing, all right? But that's why we're here. We're here to help you build your life on the Bible. We're here to teach you the Bible, teach it rightly divided, teach you how you can rightly divide it so you can get in it Monday morning and get something out of it yourself. Okay? And we Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night life groups are all designed for a different purpose in mind to help you to build your life on the Bible. Like tonight, I'm going to be preaching at 6 o'clock tonight from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And it's a message about how to decide whether something's right or wrong, questionable things. Have you ever had something in your life and you thought, man, is that right to do or is that wrong to do? Man, I don't know if that's right or wrong. Well, the Bible tells you how to decide those issues that may be questionable in your life. And you don't know, is this right or is this wrong? The Bible tells you how to decide those things. And tonight we're going to look at that from the Bible. So what I'm trying to say, we're here, we exist through our growth groups, through the Bible Institute, through Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, through our life groups, all these different ways. We're here to help you to build your life on God's Word. Number four, last thing. Prepare your life for the Master's use. Prepare your life for the master's use. Look at verse 21, and we're almost done. If a man therefore purge himself from these, okay, he shall be a vessel unto honor. You'll be an honorable vessel. Look at this. Sanctified. That means set apart. And notice, you are meet, you're fit for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. God wants you to be prepared to every good work. In your handout, I wanted to give you two quick statements. Here's the idea. Look at verse 22 before we write this in. Verse 22. Can everybody read with me the first four words? What does it say? Flee also youthful lust. In your handout, it says, we flee from the sinful lust and passions of this present world, but it says we then... Oh, I'm sorry, I'll let you write that in. We flee from the sinful lust and passions of this present world. But wait a minute, there's another part. We then store up the sound doctrine of God's Word in our souls. See? And that's what verse 22 is about. Flee youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace. So I flee youthful lust, but then I follow, I store up God's Word in my soul, and then apply it to the details of our life. I take God's Word, and as it says up here on the screen, I store up the sound doctrine of God's Word in our soul, and then we go out and we live it. We apply that to the details of our life. And as we do that, hey, we become soldiers that God can use in a powerful way to impact lives as we sojourn through this world. Now, I want you to take your Bible. I'm not done. Go to chapter 4. Just flip over maybe one page. You may not even have to flip. Go to chapter 4, and I want you to look with me at verse 6, and I want you to notice what Paul said at the end of his life. For I am now, what does he say? I'm ready. Man, I'm ready to be offered. I'm ready to go. And the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And he said, you know what? Verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, is going to give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Listen, folks, when you get to the end of your life, are you going to be able to face death fearlessly, without regret, and say, man, I fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I've kept the faith, I've been a good soldier for Jesus Christ? Or are you going to let the affairs of this life swallow you up, ensnare you, and keep you from standing strong in this present evil world? My prayer is that you'll stand strong. Let's go to God in prayer this morning.